In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. First of all, on behalf of the Council of Presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I want to thank you for your hospitality as we have spent the last few days here on campus and will be here yet through tomorrow. We thank you for the opportunity to worship with you, to eat with you, to fellowship with you. I also bring you greetings this morning from your brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the Pacific Southwest District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pacific Southwest District is 310 congregations, 200 Lutheran schools in Southern California, Arizona, and Southern Nevada. And one of the exciting things for me as district president in a place like that is as I travel around my district from week to week to know that of those 310 churches, 70 of those congregations have at least one worship service in a non-English language. And how God is taking that message of resurrection, that Easter joy, to God's people of a variety of cultures and languages and ethnic groups. But I focus with us this morning on that text that was just read from that portion of the resurrection chapter in 1 Corinthians 15. It's so beautiful how Paul structures 1 Corinthians. He begins at the very beginning of the letter by talking about the grace of God that is given to us in Jesus Christ, that which he preached to them. And then he spends the next several chapters, in many ways, I suppose we could say, laying out the law to them. He talks about corrective behaviors. He talks about what does it mean to be a disciple, and gives them instructions for daily living. And then as he gets to the end of his letter, he comes to 1 Corinthians 15 and he brings us back to the gospel. He brings us back to the message of death and resurrection. That wonderful creedal statement that he has at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15. For what I received, I passed on to you that it was of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Good law-gospel distinction there in 1 Corinthians. But he brings us back at the end to the challenge. And there in 1 Corinthians 15, in that portion of the text that we heard read, Paul addresses the issue of doubt. Yesterday in the gospel lesson, we heard the doubt of Thomas. And Jesus, who appeared to Thomas and said, "Behold my hands, look at my side." And we heard that profession of Thomas's faith. Well, Paul now addresses the issue of doubt for those who are not really sure the resurrection took place. There are those among them who are saying that there is no resurrection of the dead. And Paul does a great job of laying out for us, and he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then all the dominoes fall. And all that we do and all that we say and all that we believe is for nothing. He says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised from the dead. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, we are all false witnesses. But then Paul sort of does a double take. And he says, now, if you didn't get it, let me tell it to you once more. In case you don't understand, if there is no resurrection of the dead, Christ has not been raised. Your faith is futile. You are still in your sin. But here comes the kicker, the second time around. And he makes it very personal, straight to the heart. And he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then your loved ones who have died are dead forever. Now that cuts to the heart and core of a person's faith. And Paul gets their attention. And Paul goes on then to say, but Christ has been raised from the dead. And he is the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. That's why we're here. That's why some of you are here in this place preparing for ministry as pastors and deaconesses. That's why some of you are so excited about tonight, because you're going to get your vicarage assignment, and those tomorrow night who are going to get your calls into first ministry. That's why this place is here. Because Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It's kind of interesting out in the parish when you listen to people talk about why they come to church. And some people will say, well, I come to church because the church is the hospital for the sick. And sometimes people will say, well, I come to church because I just need that boost for the week, and I need sort of that uplift for the week. And others might say, well, I come because I'm trying to learn how to walk with Jesus, how to be a disciple. And on the list will go. But then Paul says, but if our belief in the resurrection is for this life only, we are to be pitied. But it is the resurrection that gives meaning to all of our life. God does heal. We are refreshed in worship around word and sacrament. We do come to learn. But it's all because, as Paul reminds us, it's all because of the resurrection. That all of that makes any sense. It's always about bringing people back to the cross and the empty tomb. It's all about the fact the tomb is empty. I remember a few years ago, I noticed in our Sunday school that the children had a very large coloring book. And the coloring book was entitled The Story of Easter. And the children would color different parts in the coloring book, and they'd get different parts of the Easter story. But the very last page in the coloring book, the very last picture to be colored by the children, was three crosses set on a hill. I thought, oh no! They missed the point of the story. The message of Easter is not about three crosses set on a hill. That's Good Friday. But if the story ends on Good Friday, then all of our preaching and teaching is in vain. It's all about the tomb being empty. But the challenge for us in ministry is, how then do you apply that faith in resurrection to daily life? How do you take the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ and make it meaningful for the events that people are experiencing? I can't make a lot of sense out of people who have worked hard all their life since their first paper route as a teenager, who now at the age of 45 can't find a job and can't care for their family. It doesn't make sense to me. Oh, economically it makes sense, but that's not the point. I can't make sense out of a wonderful, very, very dear friend, vibrant and vital in her life, who all of a sudden is diagnosed with stage 4 brain tumor and given a very short prognosis for life. I can't make a lot of sense out of 9 American soldiers who were shot and killed by an Afghan pilot that they're trying to train to be helpful to protect his own country. It doesn't make sense to me. And I can't make a lot of sense out of wonderful, godly people who die very innocently in the wrath of nature in tornadoes. And the people who sit in our pews, but even more significantly, the people who won't darken the inside of our church don't make any sense out of it either. And oftentimes the question is, where is God in all of the chaos of my life? And oftentimes they don't realize that if you want to find God, you have to look at a cross and know that the tomb is empty. Into nonsense, into the nonsense of our life comes the word. The tomb is empty. He's not here. Why do you seek the living among the dead? In our nation today, on this particular day, there are many people who have a renewed hope and a renewed enthusiasm because of the death of one man, Osama bin Laden. But for us, the hope is not in the death of a man. It's in the life of a man. Like Paul, we can say there is nothing in all creation that will ever separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ, because he knew that the resurrection was real for him. And that's the challenge. It's not only to live our lives with that hope of the resurrection, but is to make that resurrection meaningful, to take the hope of the resurrection and address the chaos of people's lives. For Christ has been raised, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep, and there is our hope. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.